ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके, एक्चुअली आई वॉज थिंकिंग दैट आई मीन यू नो वी कुड डू अवर क्लासेस ऑन जूम ऑल्सो, बट ओनली प्रॉब्लम इज दैट you know the internet connectivity is a issue, and second thing is about the size of the file, recording file. So I don't know, I'm not aware if Zoom has an option to record the class, and because it will be a video session, and if we are able to record it, then what will be the size of the file? Because I just want to make sure that whatever we cover in the class, audio is more important than video. So if we are not able to upload the recording, then it's a waste of effort through Zoom. But I think most of the devotees these days, they are doing Zoom connection, and they are also connecting that with Facebook Live, which is also the same thing with ISKCON Orlando, and many, many other senior devotees are also living like that. So maybe, obviously video is definitely more interesting. We can see each other and we can interact with each other also, but the only issue is connectivity and the size of the file. So I don't know if any devotees, they are aware of the recording option in Zoom. I mean, I think since it is connected to Facebook, or it can be connected to Facebook, or it can be up, because Aritra is uploading on YouTube also, so maybe there is an option of somehow it can be connected to YouTube or Facebook. That way we can have the video also. Okay, so obviously today we don't want to try that, but we can consider that option too. Any devotees, they have any suggestions for this?
I know, Prabhuji, that in laptop, when you're using Zoom, there is option to record the class. That I know. But what purpose will we serve with the video? Because there is no visual presentation as such. So I think maybe then audio is fine.
It's just a trend these days that on the basis of interactivity, that appears very, you know, it appears very nice, because you can see the devotees and you can interact with them, you know, it is more lively. But I am okay, you know, like if there are issues about it, then we can continue with our audio also.
Yeah, then your bandwidth has got to be really good, I mean, so that there is no interruption in the recording, and the quality of the audio and things like that are more important there.
Correct.
I mean, obviously, audio quality is very important, otherwise he's not able to relate to the subject clearly.
Yeah, of course. Money is more important than Vapu. So that is true.
correct.
Prabhuji, GoToMeeting has recording.
Huh?
GoToMeeting has recording. You can record.
Okay, it. But Rashi Prabhu is saying Zoom also has recording. So, we can just experiment. See, I think this Sunday we can have the class on Prabhupada Leela. And that time I think we can try it for some time. Maybe we can early try to test it, and we can set up, you know, 15 minutes before we can start, try to do it. And if it is not working, then we just switch over to FCC. Okay. Okay, so let's start with the class. So what I wanted to basically discuss today is that I could not complete the explanation about the liberation part, what it means to be liberated, because it is mentioned that the Lord liberates 21 generations of Prahlad Maharaj, of a pure devotee. So what is the meaning of this liberation? And then somehow the topic diverted to the topic discussion of Jay and Vijay, or the the Jiva who became Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kumkanan, Shishupal and Dantvakra. That's how we try to understand by this particular example in Shastra, how what it means to be liberated. Because we did come to one conclusion that in their context, it's not necessary that they got liberated immediately. Because Narsingadev, he says that, you know, what to speak of your father, but your
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji is blank or can everybody hear Prabhuji?
No, I can't hear him either.
Prabhuji, if you can hear us, please note your blank right now.
Hare Krishna, are you able to hear? Hare Krishna,
yeah, now we can hear. Now we can hear.
Yeah. What to say, yaar?
We cannot plan for video in these conditions, Prabhuji.
Exactly. That is what I was thinking. The first thought came was that how can we do video if this is the condition of audio? But even other devotees also, I think Rajiv Prabhu also has some problem with audio. Sometimes he's also blank. But I think Swati Mother in Nirvika and others, they have a good network probably. Nirvika, are you on Wi-Fi or on your data?
I actually dialed in. I have not used the app or anything. I've dialed in.
No, I'm asking you, not on the network line.
Oh, yeah.
So that is working now?
Yeah, it's working. I mean, I joined it just 5 minutes back and I just newly joined in.
Okay. Achcha. Because if you remember, you know, I think last week it was not working. I mean, couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
And then we switched to this app. Okay.
Yeah, even in that time, eventually the dial-in option was working. Like after 10 minutes, it worked.
Achcha, okay. Theek hai, we'll see. Agar how it is disconnecting, then I will try to join through phone. Okay, so I was talking about liberation. What did you hear?
So you just started off with the liberation topic and I think it went blank.
Oh, really? Achha. So I was mentioning that we have studied, yesterday we studied the typical example of Jai Vijay and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu from the Shastra. And what we learned is that whether it is Jai or Vijay or whether it is any Jiva who is taking these three demoniac positions, they did not attain liberation. So although Narasimhadev is telling that don't, you know, like what to speak of your father, but your 21 generations are liberated. But we see that his father himself was not liberated. What to speak of 21 generations? So what is the meaning of liberation here? We have discussed this elaborately in the example of Jai and Vijay. So liberation here means that the soul attains a superior destination in the sense that it attains a better destination, but it does not go back to Godhead. And at the same time, there is a good chance of the soul getting Agyata Sukriti, more Agyata Sukriti, or more chance of getting mercy of the devotees or the Lord. So the chances become much higher of receiving the mercy of Lord and accepting the part of Krishna consciousness. Why? Because it's very simple. Krishna does not interfere in anyone's free will. So when, if Lord is saying that all these 21 generations are liberated, then that would mean that all of them, they are supposed to go back to Godhead. But then we don't see them going back to Godhead. We see that they are taking births, and at the same time they are also not accepting Krishna consciousness or bhakti in that particular lifetime. So then what does it mean that generations of pure devotees, they will attain liberation? What does that mean? It only means that they attain a better destination or better chances of accepting the mercy of the Lord and the devotees or accepting bhakti. That is the only difference. Okay, so we see now in because it's very simple. Everyone has to accept the path of devotion. Even if someone would try to give them the path of devotion, but if they do not accept it, then they cannot get the path of devotion. That is the reason bhakti works from both ends. It is not just from one end. It has to also be accepted from the other end. Without that, there is no question of getting or receiving bhakti. That is the reason Prabhupada also, in each and every letter that he has written to his disciples, he is always saying, please accept my blessings. So why is he requesting the disciples to accept his blessings? If just by telling someone, instructing someone, the disciple would have accepted it, there was no question of mentioning this. Right? And in the Damodar Leela also we see how Yashoda Maiya is not able to tie Krishna, and the reason is the Acharya says that the rope was 2 fingers short. Okay, the rope was short by two fingers. And they say that one finger represents the mercy of Krishna, another finger represents the mercy of Yashoda Maiya. Right? So, and you know something very interesting, that Yashoda Maiya, right from sunrise to sunset, she put an effort to tie Krishna. You can just imagine, almost 12 hours she was running behind Krishna, but she did not give up. And finally, seeing the efforts, the extra efforts put by Yashoda Maiya, Krishna finally relented and he accepted to be tied by her. So we can see that struggle or efforts, that is playing the most important role, or it is playing a very dominant or prominent role in a spiritual life of a devotee. That is the reason you have to struggle through the stage of Anartha Nivritti and come to the stage of Nishtha. And all other stages after Nishtha, they come, the dominant factor is the Lord's mercy. ruchi, asakti, bhav, prem. These are the higher stages which will specially be bestowed by the prominent factor of the Lord's mercy. So we don't have to put so much effort for that. As you know, as much effort we have put for put in the path of bhakti coming from Shraddha to Nishtha. And so the major challenge lies in Anartha Nibriti, and it can take lifetimes to come to the state of Nishtha because of our conditioning attachments. So you see, it can take lifetimes to come to the state of Nishtha, but once you attain Nishtha, it can take only a few moments, or it can take a couple of days or a couple of months or years to reach the state of Prema. That is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord's mercy. Okay, so here also the same concept is there, that when all these benedictions, they talk about liberation, the liberation actually is understood in different contexts. So liberation can be liberation from sin, it can be liberation meaning you can merge in the Sayujya Mukti, you can attain Sayujya Mukti, merge into Brahman, or you can merge in Krishna's effulgence, or you can go back to Godhead. And the, you know, you can, so there are how many types of liberation? There are 5 types of liberation, we know that. Sarupya, Salokya, Sashti, Sayujya Mukti is also there, Samipya is there, right? So these are the 5 different types of liberation that one may attain. And one can also, and another type of liberation is also by saying that you are promoted to the heavenly planets. That is also liberation. Because generally, those who are karmi, or the shastras which focus on karma kand, they talk about liberation to the heavenly planets. So basically, you attain a very pious life where you can enjoy for a long time. And that is also liberation. So one can be promoted to Swarga, one can be promoted to Sayujya Mukti, one can be promoted to Vaikuntha or Goloka. So all these terms can, liberation can cover all these terms. Okay, that, so we have to understand in the right context. So here specifically when they are getting the mercy of the Lord, when the ancestors or the relatives of a pure devotee, they get the mercy of the Lord, that means, because of the devotee, that means that they will, in the future, they will receive a lot of chances for accepting Krishna consciousness or bhakti. And at the same time, they will also get free from a lot of the karmic reaction. So this is a special benediction one will attain, special result one will attain if one is connected to a devotee of the Lord. Okay, and this ancestor is not just connected to the father's side, it is also connected to the mother's side, the parents as such. So both of them will benefit. It's not just the father, ancestor of the father. Okay. So that is the reason we see when Bali Maharaj, he came. See, now the question is that of Bali Maharaj. It's very interesting to note that Bali Maharaj, he took birth in a demoniac family and he associated with demons. That is the reason. Now see, you just imagine one thing. Bali Maharaj was he was probably in the mode of ignorance till the time Vamandev appeared, and then Vamandev arrested Bali Maharaj. Or you know, somehow he saw Vamandev for the first time. In the heart, he kind of accepted that he is the Supreme Lord. So how come this sudden transformation was there? How come he was willing to surrender everything to Vamandev? But before that, he conquered the abode of Indra. So how come suddenly he was able to surrender to Bali Maharaj? And how come that devotion came, you know, the devotion was generated from his heart? What is the reason for this? I mean, you can think about it. Why all of a sudden this transformation happened?
So it is because of the boon of Narasimha Dev?
Yeah, so it is because of the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj. Okay, because of Prahlad Maharaj's devotion, Vaman Bali Maharaj was able to access that devotion. When the right time came, somehow, because Vamandev was personally present in front of him, the devotion was generated from him within. And after that also, see, okay, the sentiments came out. But then he accepted those sentiments and he also surrendered to Vamandev. So there may be instances where devotion can appear, but because of the association with demons or materialistic people, the devotion can get covered up for some time. And when the right opportune moment comes, the devotion is again manifested. So this happened with Bali Maharaj. So all of a sudden transformation is there. Okay, so is this clear? Any question or comment? So basically the Lord will glance on the whoever is connected to a devotee. If they are dear and close to the devotee, the Lord will show special mercy on them, bestow special mercy on them, and he will also glance on them. Or in other words, he will also take care of them. So he can also bestow devotion, bhakti to them, provided they accept it. Okay, but at least they will be free from sinful reactions and they will get better facility to enjoy, or they will be in the best situation. So this is actually the one of the most important element of bhakti, to serve a devotee or to always be a servant of a devotee. Then the Lord is always with us and he always makes special arrangement for us to return to him soon. Okay?
Prabhuji, this applies only to devotees who he is close to or something. Like, I might not know, like, but any pure devotee, like, their previous ancestors, like, he might not know them so well. So he might, like, not actually be, like, so close to them or something. But in the 21 previous ancestors of Prahlad, so what happened? Like, he might not know them. Like Bali and all, they're still his grandchildren. So he knows them and everything. Like they've appeared like after him. So maybe he might still know them. But what about the previous ancestors?
See, when it is mentioned 20 generations, it means 10 below and 10 above. And now obviously Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee and he is eternal associate of the Lord. So so Prahlad Maharaj can also know the past, present and future. Just as like he knows that Bali Maharaj is going to come, he can also know that which are the ancestors that were connected to him. I mean, but you know, that is not required, first of all, because the Lord knows that he knows everything. And he will make that arrangement for the ancestors. So even Bali Maharaj, if he is not connected to, he obviously is connected through that parampara, but it's not necessary he has to know them personally. Okay.
Okay.
So even without that also, they will all attain the special favor of the Lord. That is the reason it is also mentioned, no? That whenever a devotee, you know, there a person becomes a devotee, then all the forefathers of that particular devotee, whichever destination they have attained, all of them, they start singing, dancing with joy, because they know that now they will be free from their entanglement, from their sinful reactions. So they all of them become happy and they start dancing. So this is mentioned in the Shastra. So without knowing also, because the Lord knows, he will make that arrangement. Right? And yeah, of course, now if Prahlad Maharaj is very close to some of his friend or, you know, his relative, then the Lord will definitely show that person more special extra mercy. Right? Because, so it all depends, like who is most dear to the devotee. Just like the Lord is showing favor to the devotees or probably the Lord is showing more favor to the most dear devotees. So similarly, those who are most dear to the devotee, they will be shown favor first, or they will be shown more favor. And those who are not so important or not so like, but at least because they are connected to the devotee, they will also get that mercy. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other question? Yeah, so now you can just imagine if you are the servant of one devotee, and if you are the servant of 10 devotees, or if you are very close to, you are very dear to 10 devotees, and if you are very close to or dear to only one devotee, so what will be the consequence? What will be the result? Does it mean that you will become the most favored person just because you are very close to 10 devotees than one devotee?
Can you repeat the question, Babuji? You are saying that if you are close to the 10 devotees.
Yeah, if you are close to, the more the number of devotees you are close to, does it mean that the more favor and special mercy the Lord will bestow upon you? Rather, so let's say there is one devotee or the one person is very closely attached to one devotee, and there is another person who is closely attached to 10 devotees. So who will attain more mercy and favor of the Lord?
It depends on how advanced the devotees are to keep serving.
Okay, that's a good point. But now let's assume that all these devotees, they are all equally advanced.
It's more important that the person who's surrounded, the person in question, how receptive he is to the mercy that is flowing from the devotee. It depends on that.
Okay, so let's assume that he is receptive. He is receptive in his dealings with the devotees.
Then Prabhuji, I don't know if it is more than one or one devotee. It's the same. Ultimately, the mercy, the quality of mercy is important.
Because we are
talking and thinking about Krishna here. Krishna is the substance. Quantity of devotees. There is more fun when you are having festivals to associate with more devotees, and you can do nice Hari Ram Kirtan. Those advantages will be there when you are having more association. Certainly.
No, we are not talking about association of devotees. We are talking about, let's say for example, if I am like some devotee is very closely attached to me, and that is only one devotee who is attached to me, but there are 10 other devotees also who are attached to me in the same degree. So, what will be my position? I mean, if 10 devotees, they are merciful rather than just one devotee, then doesn't it clearly show that that devotee will definitely get more special mercy?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, okay. So, now it is obvious that if a person has more connection, right? Like in the material world also, if a person is very influential, he has more connection in the government with multiple people than just one person, then definitely he has more, in the sense that, he will receive more power and he will be more influential rather than just one receiving that influence from one person. If he is connected with 10 different people, at the same level, then definitely he will be more powerful. So here also, so there are two different contexts here. The first is, let's say if you take initiation and if you become a disciple of that devotee, or let's say all these devotees are gurus and you take initiation. So now if you compare, because there is a tendency amongst devotees to think that, okay, if we are connected with more advanced devotees, then we can progress more quickly. Okay, so from a guru-disciple relationship point of view, this rule does not necessarily apply. Why? Because the Shastra very clearly says that you have to also show your dedication and loyalty to your Gurujan first. So if you have the Diksha and Siksha Guru, so you have to be very loyal to them. And that means that the priority has to be them first. Okay. And so it should not happen that you are just going to a shopping mall and shopping at different places for the same product. Okay. So one particular product, if you want to get it, you have to get it from a particular place. I mean, so we are obviously in shopping, we can do it a couple of times, different places, but I'm just giving an analogy that here you cannot shop. When it comes to etiquette of guru-disciple relationship, you cannot shop from one place to another place for the same product, which means for the same topic, you cannot take multiple instructions and not show faith to any one of them. So you have to be loyal to that person and you have to also serve that person. And loyalty and service, they are quite restrictive in nature. You cannot, because we are not Supreme Lord, we cannot expand our loyalty and service to each and every devotee. Okay. So if you dissatisfy your Diksha and Siksha Guru and run after the other devotees who may be more advanced, then definitely your spiritual life will go down because you are committing an offense actually. Okay. So this is all given in the teachings of Krishna Badnamrit by Narahari Sarkar. It's an excellent book, especially explaining the principles of Guru Tattva. So from that point of view, this process is not really true. Okay. But yeah, from an external point of view, which means that if you are not a devotee, or if you are even if you are a devotee, but if you are not connected to them as a guru-disciple relationship, but at least maybe by some opportune in the past or present, you have been able to serve these devotees till now. And they are all close to you. That will all definitely have some special potency and, you know, special favor of the Lord. Because you have satisfied not just one devotee of the Lord, you have satisfied 10 people, 10 devotees of the Lord who are very dear to the Lord. So that way, yeah, it is definitely more advantageous to get the mercy of 10 devotees, because irrespective of the advancement of those devotees, you know, at least the majority of the devotees, if they are giving mercy, then you will also receive the mercy. Definitely, you will receive special mercy, more mercy, because you have satisfied the Lord. So here also in our ISKCON movement also, we come across many devotees, multiple devotees, and we serve them, we satisfy them. So it's not necessary every time we are able to get direct service of Guru and we only try to please the Guru. Because Guru's instruction is that you also serve other devotees or the ones who are assisting him. So we have to also serve them. So basically that means that we get connected to a particular group or a community, and then we loyally serve in that particular group or community. And you know, there may be other opportunities for service coming along, but the main focus is to serve in that particular group or community to show our loyalty. You know, that is the most important thing. And then if we have some other, we have scope for other service, we do it if we have time for that. And especially when our gurus, god brothers are involved, if we have time, we can also serve them. Okay. So, and obviously the Shastra does recommend the service of advanced devotees for sure, but it should not be done at the expense of sacrificing your service to your own Gurujan, which includes the Diksha and Siksha Guru. This is the conclusion of Shastra. Okay, so yeah, so we want to become dear to as many devotees as possible, but at the same time, we have to keep in mind that we should also not compromise or sacrifice our service to our own Gurujan. So is this clear? Then that is perfect, you know. So that, because see, this is all, it's an etiquette, and this is what the Lord wants. This is His desire. So if you follow the desire of the Lord, then we make maximum advancement. Okay, and we should not never come to a point where we are not having loyalty or faith to any one of them. Okay, that should not happen. So we cannot just wander from one place to another place. So in that sense, there will be no effect. But generally speaking, you know, there is obviously a lot of effect when we are connected to multiple devotees. So is this clear? Any questions on this?
No.
Are you able to hear? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, any other devotees? Okay. So let's continue. So I hope the meaning of liberation is clear here. Now we'll discuss something very important about Prahlad, the devotion of Prahlad Maharaj. So it is mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj had natural attraction for Vasudev. Okay, now another meaning is the greatness of Prahlad, who had natural attraction for Vasudev, can only be slightly indicated, since it is impossible to define fully. Because, you know, so now here Vishwamitra Thakur is commenting and he's saying that actually Prahlad Maharaj, So he is commenting on the verse number 7th canto 4 chapter 36th verse, and he is saying that the next verse, which is the 37th verse, it is mentioned Krishna Griya Griya Tatma, as if he was haunted by Krishna. So some say Vasudev means Narasimha, others say Vasudev refers to Krishna, because in Prahlad prayers in the Vishnu Purana it is said Avir Bhabhuva Bhagwan Pitambarodaro Hari, the Lord wearing yellow cloth appeared. The next verse mentions Krishna also. And also it is later said, Govinda Pariram Bitau, Prahlad was embraced by Govinda. This is mentioned in verse 38. So others say that Prahlad first had attraction for Vasudev and then later for Narasimha when he appeared. It is mentioned in this verse that he had a natural attraction for Vasudev. His attraction did not develop by sadhana over many births, as is the case with others. So very interesting point. So some say that Prahlad actually had natural attraction for Vasudev, not for Narasimha. And then later when Narasimha appeared, he developed that attraction to Narasimha. So and also, you know, this purport, this commentary by Vishwanathaka Thakur reminds me of the Prabhupada talking about the non-union forms do not exist in the spiritual world, and how it is like also related to this, because according to Prabhupada in the Vaikuntha, the form of the Lord, the name of the Lord is actually called as Narasimha, but he is actually present in the forearm form. And if you remember, when yesterday we were discussing about the previous life of Prahlad Maharaj, and also how Prahlad Maharaj was informed by the Lord beforehand that Narasimha is going to appear. So that time it was not Narasimha who appeared to him. It was 400 Vishnu form who told Prahlad Maharaj that I will appear in and I will kill Hiranyakashipu. That time it was not Narasimha. And another very interesting point is, see, if you have seen the serial of Krishna, so Raman Sagar, there also, if you see, whenever Prahlad Maharaj is put into difficulty, who is coming to protect him? You know, it's not shown that Narasimha Dev is coming to protect him. It is shown that Vishnu is coming in the 400 form. And, you know, just want to be, you know, clear that Ramanand Sagar, whatever he has shown from Shastra only. Like, he is quoting Puranas, and then obviously most of the information he has taken from our ISKCON books. Okay, by Prabhupada's this thing. So, he has quoted a lot of Puranas, and the same thing mentioned here also by Vishwanatha Thakur, that previously he was actually attracted to Vasudev, and after that he got attracted to Narasimha. Okay, so is this clear? Any question? No question, no comment? Okay.
Yes, very clear, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay, so now, okay, I wanted to discuss about the various forms of Lord Narasimhadev. Okay, so according to Vedic philosophy, Vishnu descends in variety of avatars, all of whom are non-different from him. Lord Krishna or Lord Narasimha is recognized in the scriptures by a variety of forms. The Vihagendra Samhita 4.17 of the Panchratra Agama enumerates more than 70 forms of Lord Narasimhadev. Most of these forms are distinguished by the arrangements of weapons in the hands, his different postures, or other subtle distinctions. Okay, now we will go through the most prominent forms of Lord Narasimhadev, the Nav Vyuha Narasimha. So out of these 74, 9 are most prominent. And these are as follows: Ugra Narasimhadev, Krudha Narasimhadev, Veera Narasimhadev, Vilamba Narasimhadev, Kopa Narasimha, Yoga Narasimha, Aghora Narasimha, Sudarshan Narasimha, Lakshmi Narasimha. These are the 9 forms. In Ahobil, Andhra Pradesh, the 9 forms are as follows: Chhatra Vat Narasimha, who is seated under a banyan tree; Yogananda Narasimha, who blessed Lord Brahma; Karanja Narasimha; Uha Narasimha, Ugra Narasimha, Krodha Narasimha; Malola Narasimha, with Lakshmi on his lap; Jwala Narasimha, an 8-arm form rushing out of the pillar; Pavan Narasimha, who blessed the sage Bharadwaj. Other forms are as follows: Stambha Narasimha, coming out of the pillar; Swayam Narasimha, manifesting on his own; Grahan Narasimha, catching hold of the demon; Vidaran Narasimha, ripping open of the belly of the demon; Samhar Narasimha, killing of the demon. Yeah, so there are many, many other forms of Lord Narasimhadev, which we will not discuss so much here, but the most prominent forms we have already discussed. So the question is that in Mayapur, we have our Narasimhadev. So which category he belongs to? Amongst these 9 categories, which he is belonging to?
I do Narasimha Prabhuji.
Okay, everyone agrees?
What did you say? What did Prabhuji say?
In the Mayapur, which category Narasimha belongs to?
Ugra. I think it is Ugra Narasimha.
Ugranatra, even I had heard, like, he's like in that bent position where he's just about to jump.
Is he the Ugra Narsingha or the Krudha Narsingha?
They call him Ugra Narsingha. So I don't know, like, whether that is fair or what.
Okay. Other devotees? Any guess? Angel Madhari, are you there? Where are you? Where is Angel Madhari?
Abuji, she is just tied up with the kids a little bit. She had joined in between, I remember. But now I think she's tied up with the kids.
Okay. Yeah, but at least, you know, if she can hear the recording, that would be nice.
Okay,
so this Ugra Narsimha is the most ferocious form of Narsingadev. And our Mayapur, even among Ugra forms of Narsimha, there are further subcategories. And I think 9 or 10 subcategories. And our Narsimhadev in the Mayapur temple is actually the first category of Ugra Narsimha, the most ferocious. It's called Stanu Narsimha. This Stanu Narsimha is, as Nirvika was saying, that he is ready to jump. And he's just appeared from the pillar. And he's, you know, one of his foot is bent. And he's just about to jump over Hiranyakashipu. So the most ferocious form, because as soon as Narsingadev emerged from the pillar, he was in the mood of attacking. And so after that, his anger started subsiding to some degree, gradually. And then finally when, you know, Prahlad Maharaj went and he pacified Lord Narsimha. So that time, and before that, Lakshmi Devi also went. So Lakshmi Narsimha is quite a easy avatar, you know, or easy form of Lord Narsimha they have to deal with. Okay, but Ugra form of Narsimha, it is recommended that only Brahmacharis, Naishthiki Brahmacharis can only worship that form. So I want, now, The speciality above Stanu Narsimha in Mayapur is that the sculptor who had carved this deity, he said to our devotee that this deity that you want to carve, it's not possible actually. First of all, he rejected, you know, the idea that this deity can be carved. And for, you know, our Prabhupada disciple, he approached this sculpture twice. And first time he was rejected. Second time he went and he said that, you know, okay, like my guru appeared to my dream and he told me that for ISKCON you must carve this deity. And so I am willing to carve it. And so then he started carving the deity and there were so many problems, so many difficulties that started coming. So right away in the beginning, this sculpture told our devotees that this form is the most ferocious form in the entire planetary system, because this form is not even visible or available in the heavenly planets. It is not to be seen in heavenly planets and it is also not to be seen in Brahmaloka. So the Mayapur Stanu Narsingadev which has appeared, it is extremely, extremely special deity form. And that is what we see in Mayapur. So I had one realization when I went to Mayapur for the first time. I entered through the main gate of the temple. And so it is generally said that when people enter in the temple, Lord Narsingadev is right in front of them. He's glancing at them and he's scanning them. The first time everyone is going to enter the temple, Lord Narsingadev is scanning them first. And only after scanning, he allows them to go inside. So, Narsingadev, can you just imagine, you know, he is the most ferocious form. But then, why in Mayapur, we are not feeling that kind of fear when we are worshipping Lord Narsingadev? And that's the first question. Second question is, how did he appear in Mayapur? what reason? I mean, for what reason he appeared? Why did he appear? Or why did the devotee install Narasimhadev? Why Narasimhadev is, in spite of being the most ferocious form of the Lord, we don't find him to be extremely fearful.
Prabhuji, I heard that in Mayapur's main deciding deity of Mayapur's dham is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Narasimhadev has taken the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is, he is just giving mercy and protection to the devotee. Because Narasimhadev will take on the mood of the presiding deity of the dham when he is. Like if he would have been the presiding deity, then he would have been in his usual ferocious form. But since he is in Mayapur dham, where the prime deities worshipped there are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, so he is taken on their mood.
Yes, that's correct.
And the reason why he appeared in Mayapur is that they were under a constant attack of decoys, I think, in the 1980s. And I think something happened once, and then I think Radharani or someone, she either got... Like her deity was either like defiled or something, or I don't remember exactly what it was, or she was stolen or something of that sort. And they realized that now they have to do something, otherwise their decor, because that's an acolyte area. And the people are like, these decors are constantly attacking. So they know that for protection, Asimhadev is the one. And they wanted it to be someone who's like, ferocious enough that, you know, he will protect the devotees over there, because he is the one who protects devotees like through and through, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. So that is why they decided to install Narasimhadev over there.
Yeah, that's right. So what happened is a gang of dacoits, they enter the temple and they started stealing Radharani's deity, and not the installed one, but the Pratibhu Murti of Radharani, and they also took the Murti of Srila Prabhupada. So they were stealing, because I think it was made up of pure gold or something. So they started stealing and running away, and then devotees saw, and right at that moment, the devotees, they somehow, they had the weapons also, so especially they had this pistol, and they started firing at them. So some of the dacoits were hit, and so I think Atmatattva Prabhu, who is Prabhupada's disciple, who is describing this pastime, so he is saying that they were managed to take away Radharani or Prabhupada, one of them. But I mean, they were managed to take one of them, and they were managed to save another.
Prabhuji blank, cannot hear you.
Hello? Hello, a famous one can't hear you.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah,
okay, so till what did you hear?
Atma Tattva Prabhuji was, I think some dacoits mentioned had come.
Yeah, so he shot and they were able to manage to save one deity out of the two, and one was taken away by the dacoits. So then they called for a management meeting and discussed, and the director of that management he said that it's time now that we should install Narasimha Dev in order to protect the deities or any other. Actually, even much before this, Mayapur temple was constantly attacked because a lot of dacoits were repeatedly attacking Mayapur temple. And that is the reason they came to this conclusion, now it's the time that we should install Narasimha Dev. So that's the reason, that's the main reason why Narasimha Dev deity. And also they made a point in the meeting that a similar thing happened during Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time. So he also advised his disciples to install the deity of Narasimha. And that is the reason, if you see in Yog Pit where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken birth, there also we have a Lakshmi Narasimha small temple behind, if you remember. So that Narasimha was also installed because of these kind of activities going on. And later on, once that was installed, none of the dacoits, they entered the temple. So now also we see that Narasimha Dev is protecting our ISKCON Mayapur temple. Right? So now, yeah. So Nirvika, what she was mentioning, the first point that... So basically, see, whenever the Lord, although the Lord is fearful, although the Lord is extremely ugra, ferocious, but when he goes to the particular dham, then that deity has to take the mood of that particular dham. So because the mood of the dham is Audarya dham in Navdeep, that is the reason Narasimha, although he is extremely ferocious, but when he enters Navdeep dham, he also takes the mood of giving mercy. Okay, so that is one thing. Second thing is, in the Bhagavatam itself it is mentioned that even though Lord Narasimha may be extremely ferocious to the demons, but for the devotees he is like a, you know, he, although he is a lion, but for the devotees are like the cubs of the lion, whereas the demons, they are like the enemies of the lion, you know. So for the demons, Lord Narasimha is ferocious, but for his own cub, the lion is extremely loving and kind. So this is how Narasimha Dev is taking different roles for devotees and demons. Okay, so Narasimha is actually very compassionate for devotees. Okay, so any comments on this? Okay, so now I will discuss one very interesting article written by a devotee. I believe he's a Prabhupada disciple's son, and his name is Dhruv Das. So he's the one who actually did a lot of research on the different deities of Narasimha in temples around India. And I think he has visited more than 300 temples in India. And he has spent almost 10 years of his life dedicating for the research of Lord Narasimha. So he has written a wonderful article, and I was not able to resist sharing it. So I have... I'll be sharing what he has written in the article. So he says that as Narasimha burst out of the pillar in Hiranyakashipu's palace and the dust settled, he took in the sight of both Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. So simultaneously he was looking at Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. As soon as he saw the demon, he flew into such a formidable rage that he was ready to destroy the entire world, taking a form on the form known as Thanu Narasimha. So this is what we were discussing, that this is the most ferocious form, Thanu Narasimha. Depictions of this form show of half of Narasimha looking at Hiranyakashipu in anger, while the other half gazes on Prahlad with love. Such an interesting point, you know. If you observe Thanu Narasimha, he is actually gazing towards Prahlad in a loving way, at the same time he's also looking at Hiranyakashipu in anger. So this is the Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva of the Lord, that he can manifest these qualities simultaneously. Okay, that's one thing. Then he says that it's generally directed that family men don't worship Ugra Narasimha, as they have their wife with them. And that form of the Lord doesn't. So, which means that Ugra Narasimha does not want to accept devotion of family members, because the devotion of the family member is diverted. It is not one-pointed. So he explains, Dhruv Prabhu explains that it's like being unfaithful. There is no devotion that will override that fact. Householders are therefore advised to worship the form of Lakshmi Narasimha, who is enjoying with his wife and in a peaceful mood. Okay, so now another thing. According to Dhruv Prabhu, even the 70 forms of Narasimha described in the Panchratra Agama only touch the tip of the iceberg. After years of searching, he says that he has realized there's only so much you can learn in books about Narasimha worship in India. Every different caste, dynasty, province worship him differently. In Kerala, they dress him as Narasimha Deva at night and as Krishna just before the sun comes up. In Rajasthan, they worship a form of him as a child with adorable glittery ornaments who barely even looks like Narasimha. In Gujarat, Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, they worship him opulently and with awe and reverence. And in Andhra Pradesh, he is worshipped by uneducated tribal people who actually offer him meat. Right? So this is a very interesting point. Any questions or comments on this? Okay, then he says, are you all able to hear me?
Yeah, I think
it is. Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, then he says, now this is the most interesting part. Most interesting. So he says, next to the deities, the most popular pilgrim spot is a large stone column on Ahobilam's highest peak, which members of the Sri Vaishnava Ahobilam Math say is the original pillar that Narasimha emerged from. How many of you have been to Ahobilam? I think Rajiv Prabhu, you have gone, no?
No, Prabhuji, I have not been.
Achha, you have not visited. Nirvika, you have no, also not gone?
No, I have not gone to Ahobilam.
Okay, Swati Mataji, have you visited? Because you, I think, being south, from South India, have you visited?
No, Prabhuji, I didn't.
Achha, okay. I have also not visited. Okay, so now see, he mentions a very interesting thing. So first he says that the most popular pilgrim spot is a large stone column on Ahobilam's highest peak, which members of the Sri Vaishnava Ahobilam Math say is the original pillar that Narasimha emerged from. This is a somewhat controversial claim, because the Srimad Bhagavatam relates that the fight between Narasimha and Hiranyakashipu took place in the heavenly planets, not on earth. There is some disturbance, I think. Rajiv Prabhu, have you kept your phone on speaker or what? Okay. Yeah, so contradiction. Narasimha and Hiranyakashipu, they fought in the heavenly planets, not on earth, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Let me finish the reading, and you know, after that, if you have any questions or comments, you can share. So next is the story in the Stal Puran, describing how Ahovalam came into being when the great devotee Garuda asked for a vision of Narasimha Dev. To fulfill his wish, the Lord manifested Ahoval Dham, now also known as Garuda Dri and Garuda Chalam. This implies that while Ahovilam may or may not have been the original place of Narasimha's appearance, it became so through the wish of a pure devotee. Whether it is the original place or not, what's the difference? Dhruv says, Narasimhadev is everywhere and so he is in Ahovilam too. So this is the realization of Dhruv Prabhu. He is sharing this experience and realization. And now I would like to quote one conversation of Prabhupada between disciples. So Yashodanandan, who is Prabhupada's disciple, he says, Prabhupada, there has been discussion amongst many of the members of the press and Sanskrit editors regarding the actual place of the Narasimha pastimes. So I told them that on the occasion of our travel to South India, we visited this place, Ahovilam, and the pandits, they have scriptural reference from Brahmanda Puran and Narasimha Puran that the place is actually mentioned there. And it has been recognized by Ramanujacharya and many of the great Alvar saints. And yourself have already told me twice personally that this was the actual place where it happened. And on top of the mountain there is a pillar, iron pillar, which is a symbol of the spot where Narasimha killed Hiranyakashipu. So, for the benefit of all of these devotees, they were just requesting your actual confirmation. Prabhupada, confirmation or no confirmation, Narasimha Dev is our worshipable deity, that's all. Why are you bothering where he killed Hiranyakashipu? You worship him, that's all. Yashodanandan, they just wanted. And then Jayadvait Maharaj, in between, he continues. The question came up because they have some pictures, photographs from these places and we wanted to know if they were suitable for publishing or not. Prabhupada, so why you are bothering with that? Let it be accepted or not accepted. Worship him. Akshay Anand, not that important. Prabhupada, that is the important thing. I mean, what he is saying, not that important. So Prabhupada is saying that is the important thing, which means that it's actually not important. A man is diseased. He has gone to the physician. So whether is the first duty to investigate where from the disease came or to cure him, which is important. Yashodanandan, to cure. Prabhupada, similarly, Narasimha Dev might have done this or here or there, but he is our worshipable deity, that's all. Why bother with unnecessary things? We know Narasimha is everywhere. Andantara Pustav Paramanu, Brahma Samhita. So this is on a morning walk, 10th of April 1976, Vrindavan. With this, I would like to conclude my discussion. Obviously, there are unlimited glories of Lord Narasimha Prahlad Maharaj. and so, it's not possible to end the glories of the Lord. But we are restricted, we are limited. So, we are just trying to follow in the footsteps of great souls. And we just try to share as much as possible according to our time. Okay. So this is the thing about Ahovilam. So, any comments or questions on this? Haribol, are you there? Are you able to hear?
No questions, Prabhuji.
Oh, really? I thought Rajiv Prabhu will be the first to ask questions about, especially about the, you know, the. Okay. Nirvika?
No, Prabhuji. I don't have any questions. I have
questions. Okay. Swati Mataji?
Yeah, no questions, Prabhuji.
Oh, great. I think the effect of my classes now is such that no devotee has any question, confusion in the mind. Everything is dissipated. Wonderful.
Yes, sir. Because okay. There is not there is as such no philosophy in this to be discussed. It's more like about the Leela and information. It's more
but
information about.
Okay. Yeah, that is true. I mean, as Prabhupada said, it's not so important. But at the same time, see now, definitely, from where does the Lord appear? This is what Prabhupada is saying here. But at the same time, can we say that, you know, not to locate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace, because we recognize Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution to Chaitanya Sampradaya as the most important contribution in terms of, I mean, in terms of locating the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that was actually the major contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he located the birthplace. And obviously, so the birthplace of, you know, the Lord's, now definitely it is a fact that these details are not so important. What is important is that we worship the Lord and we try to serve the Lord. That's the ultimate essence of everything. But yeah, as a service, when it comes to service, doing service, then we have to establish the facts clearly. And especially when our acharyas say something, then definitely we have to establish certain facts. So see, it's very interesting that when there was this Bhagavad Cosmology class, there were certain things which were mentioned in the class which were probably seeming a bit contrary to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, and like for example, Lanka is one of the examples. Like, you know, it is mentioned that Lanka is actually, the Lanka that we know, the Sri Lanka, is actually not the original place of Ravana. Because according to Ramayana and according to other Shastra, the Lanka that is being spoken of, it's very far away from India or from Bharat Varsha or Bharat Khanda. It's very far. Okay. So, but at the same time, we know that there were remnants of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes and Ravana's kingdom remnants are also present there. So how can we discard all these things? Now, the Sri Ramanuja Sampradaya people, here they are claiming that this is the birthplace of Narasimha, and at the same time, they are also saying that we have references from the Brahmand Purana and Narasimha Purana. So now, if you see in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is not mentioning about the appearance of Narasimha in Ahobilam. It is not mentioning the place, but it is assumed it's in the heavenly planets. Okay. I think from what I understood from the conversation between Prabhupada and his disciples, Yashodanandan, he did mention this point that Prabhupada, you had also told us twice earlier that this was the actual place where it happened. So see, Prabhupada did mention certain points which may seem to be contradictory to the Srimad Bhagavatam or maybe some other scripture. But it's not contrary. And it is supported by other scriptures or it may be supported by other acharyas also. So it is not very easy to say that what Prabhupada gave in his purports, you know, that probably he made some mistakes or he didn't knew the philosophy or he didn't knew the cosmology or he didn't knew what's happening. Okay. That's very premature or immature to comment like that. Because the same issue is here also. And if you remember, you know, in our yesterday's class discussion also, I was like making this point that it is possible that the topology may remain the same, you know, in different Manus period, but maybe it is difficult to accept that how over a period of time, because there may be a lot of changes. Okay, and I was looking more for a Shastric Praman for this, because we are not concerned about the scientific evidence. Whatever the Shastra say, we have to accept it. Whether it is supported by science or not, we have to accept it. So in that sense, you know, if we also think that Narasimhadev is appearing only in the Chakshusha Manu, and maybe then it is possible to say that he appeared in the heavenly planets. And so see, one thing the Bhagavatam consistently does is that Bhagavatam mixes different kalpas. and that is what creates confusion. And this is also my understanding, my realization that this is the main reason why we cannot neglect or ignore what our Acharya has said or what Prabhupada said, because Prabhupada may be speaking from another Kalpa point of view, or maybe this Kalpa point of view, and the Bhagavatam may be speaking from another Kalpa. Right? So, and I think this is quite clear, you know, that certain things which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, they are contradicting the other scriptures. Or other scriptures are saying something that information is not there in the Bhagavatam. Or it is, Bhagavatam is mentioning in a different way. Like for example, the way Parikshit Maharaj died, it's very different in the Mahabharata. The way the Mahabharata is actually portraying how Parikshit Maharaj died. In that it is portrayed that after hearing the Katha, when Takshak came to bite Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj started running away in fear. And then he went inside the cave and he was trying to hide from the bite of the snake. But then somehow, obviously because it was already a curse, so it had to happen. So now, the Bhagavatam says that Parikshit Maharaj was completely self-realized. He was fearless. He was waiting for that opportunity when Takshak came and bite him, you know, and he was about to give up the body and go back to Godhead. So Bhagavatam is showing in a different way, and here it is showing in a different way. So you will find this repeatedly in Bhagavatam and Mahabharata. There is a conflict. Contradiction is always there. Okay. So, the Acharyas, they say that this must have happened in different kalpas. Okay. Whenever there is a contradiction, you know, there is a difference of kalpa. This is how they resolve the contradiction. This is how they reconcile. And so, there are examples like this throughout the Bhagavatam or throughout the other Shastras. They apparently contradict each other. But then, you know, we say that, okay, it must have happened in some kalpa or some yuga like that. Okay, so it is very important. You know, Prabhupada said one time when he was asked by Harisari Prabhu that it seems that Balram favored Duryodhana. So was Duryodhana eternal associate of Balram? And Prabhupada said yes, that Duryodhana is eternal associate of Balram. Okay, but according to the Shastra, according to Garg Samhita, Duryodhana is expansion of Kali. And Madhvacharya also supports, he also shares the same point as Srila Prabhupada. In his Mahabharata commentary, Madhvacharya also says that Duryodhana is also eternal associate of Balram. So it is very premature to actually come to any conclusion. Unless and until you are like thoroughly convinced from the Lord. The Lord has personally told you that, okay, no, this is the reality and this is false. If you can prove it, then only you can comment anything about the Acharya. And if you cannot, or if you are not able to, so, see, there are, like for example, you know, we discussed yesterday night, that, Rupa Goswami is mentioning all these appearances of these avatars. Okay, and then Rupa Goswami is saying that Narasimha is appearing in 6th Manu period. But then what I am hearing from one devotee is that he appears 10 times in a Kalpa. Okay, and Rupa Goswami is not mentioning that he only appears in once in a Kalpa. He's just saying that he appears in Chakshusha Manu. So both can be true. He can appear 10 times in Chakshusha Manu. So you know, the statements of the Acharyas, Goswamis, they have to be seen, they have to be reconciled like that. So we have to be very careful. And you know, as being loyal to our current Acharya, we have to accept first what our current Acharya says. So all the Prabhupada disciples, they agree on a common point that we have to defer to Srila Prabhupada. You know, if there is a difference of opinion, then we have to defer to Prabhupada. We have to accept what he says. Right, so this this actually Ahobilam, regarding Ahobilam, I had heard this earlier, but somehow when I was preparing for the class, I again came back to this topic. You know, because this Dhruv Prabhu, you know, he has given nice realization and he has shared his experiences. So in that, this topic again appeared, and so I just somehow retrieved what Prabhupada actually mentioned about Ahobilam, and I had heard similar things in the past also. So yeah, so maybe some devotees, they are stressing on the Bhagavatam. They are emphasizing the Bhagavatam, which is definitely the ultimate praman, because for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Bhagavatam is the ultimate praman, is the ultimate authority. And we, just like we, you know, defer to our current Acharya, we defer to Srimad Bhagavatam when there is a conflict or contradiction. But we also can reconcile. It is not necessary that the other scriptures are contradicting the Bhagavatam. And it also depends on the emphasis that they present. So Mahabharata, you can see that Parikshit Maharaj is very afraid, because the entire emphasis of the Mahabharata is to go to the heavenly planets, to attain dharma, earth, kama, moksha. These are the four goals according to the Mahabharata. But Bhagavatam, if you consider purely from a devotional point of view, going back to Godhead, pure devotion, this is the focus of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So from that point of view, it is natural to be afraid of someone's death, you know, because every living entity is very protective, very defensive, and especially when death comes, they are always fearful about it. So it is very natural, when you don't have devotion for the Lord, when you are not focused on that higher platform of Vasudeva platform, transcendental platform, you will be afraid to some degree. So that the Bhagavad, the Mahabharata is clearly showing in the case of Parikshit Maharaj. Okay, but when you consider the Bhagavatam point of view, Bhishma Pitama also transcendental. When he's passing away, he's transcendental. Parikshit Maharaj, all of them fearless. Why this fearless? Because the Supreme Lord is fearless, and we attain his quality when we, and we become like him. We attain him and we become like him. So that means that we attain his qualities. Devotees become fearless. So that's how, right, in the Bhagavatam, everywhere you'll see how the devotees, even if they have left their bodies, they do it in a very exemplary way, without any fear. Okay, so is that clear?
Can you send that article of Dhruv Prabhu? Is it the same thing that has come in Back to Godhead some few months back?
Okay, I got it. I just got this article in some website, but I think this is the same article in the Back to Godhead, because it seems like that he has probably given in the Back to Godhead also.
Okay, can you just share that on the group?
Yeah, I can share it, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. All right, so any other comments or questions? Okay, no question, no comments. So let's stop the class, and we'll have our Prabhupada Leela class on Sunday, 17th. Okay, all right. Thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhanu Panam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanu Panam.